Great. So let me start by saying that today, as you've guessed, is not a typical Sunday. We don't have baptisms every Sunday here at Portswood Church, but when we do, it's always special. And it's often an opportunity to invite people who wouldn't normally come to church to come here. So if you're here this morning for the very first time, let me welcome you again and say thank you for joining us. I realise that some of this may feel very unusual and unfamiliar, but most of what we're doing here, we do every Sunday. We sing, we pray, we read from the Bible, we listen to someone give a talk, and then after the service, we drink coffee, we chat, and we catch up. So that's what we do every Sunday. And for some of us, that's very familiar. But if we stop and ask why do we do this? Why do we do the things that we do? Then that's a question that we can all ask. Why do we do the things that we do? Sometimes we can find ourselves in situations that are very difficult, situations that we don't really want to be in, facing a challenge that seems far beyond us. And I know that some of us here today are facing that kind of challenge, that kind of situation, or we know someone who is in that situation. So what do we do about that? What's our way of dealing with difficulty? How do we cope when we're in a challenging situation or when someone we know is struggling? The person that we heard about in the passage that was just read to us was in a situation like that, a situation that he didn't want to be in, a situation that was beyond him. And his name was Ahaz. As Lou said, it's not a very familiar name, but he was a king. He was the king of Judah, and he was facing a challenge that really was beyond him. He was in a very difficult and precarious situation. And we know that because we're told in this passage that the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken. They were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. And we can picture that, can't we? And I imagine that most of us here this morning, most people that we know have felt like that at some point in our lives. We've felt that our hearts have been shaken by circumstances beyond our control. And perhaps recent events have left some of us feeling shaken and wondering, what should we do? And even if we're not, then most of us realize that life is uncertain and unpredictable. We don't know what might happen in the coming weeks or months or years. So how do we live with that? How do we cope with the realities of life, the uncertainties of life? In this passage, Ahaz and his people, they've been told some bad news. They've been told that two of their closest neighbours, two kings, two countries, if you like, had formed an alliance, and they were planning to fight against Ahaz, invade the land, overpower them. If we think about that, that might be difficult to imagine, or maybe it's not difficult to imagine because of what happens and what is happening in the world around us. This kind of thing often happens. It's happened in the past, it's happening right now in parts of the world. I don't know how you feel about that, but I know that I can sometimes feel quite scared, quite worried about what's happening or what might happen in the future, scared about what might happen to me or my friends or my family or what's happening in the world in general. And it's not that I want you to worry this morning or be more worried. I imagine that most of us are all already worried about things that feel out of our control. And we don't know what's going to happen. But in the passage that was read to us, in the challenging situation that Ahaz is in, something really unexpected happens. Something that Ahaz hadn't thought about, hadn't planned for. And we're told that it's God who steps in. It's God who takes the initiative. It's God who does something. And the thing that God does, if you read carefully, is that God sends someone to Ahaz with a message. And that's something that God does quite often. As you read through the Bible, God often sends people with a message. And the way it's recorded for us here is very detailed. You probably noticed it. It's a very specific and detailed account. We're told that God spoke to a specific person, told him to take his son and go to a specific place. And he was to go there to meet King Ahaz with a particular message. And this message was in three parts. It starts with an instruction. If you've got the passage and you look at verse 4, this is the instruction: be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. And that makes me think of those posters and t-shirts and postcards that say, keep calm and carry on. Or all the other versions of that that have been produced over the years. It's one thing to be told to keep calm in the face of difficulty, or not to be afraid when there are things that are frightening. But for this instruction to work, we need to be given reasons to be able to stay calm and to be unafraid in the face of danger or difficulty. And that's the second part of the message. The threat is real, and we can see that in verses 5 and 6. It says, Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin. They're saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. So that sounds very bad for Ahaz. And God is letting Ahaz know that he knows what situation he's in. God knows what Ahaz is facing, and he lets Ahaz know exactly what he thinks. But then he tells Ahaz something that is unexpected. Verse 7, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. So this planned invasion, this planned takeover of Judah is going to fail. It's not going to happen. The sovereign Lord says it. And we can imagine how King Ahaz would have felt hearing that message. He would have felt relief, surely. It's not going to happen. The threat isn't going to be fulfilled. But, and this is the important thing, it's only a relief if you believe the message. If you don't believe the message, it makes no difference to you. So then the third part of the message, which we find in the second part of verse 9, it's the end of the reading. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you'll not stand at all. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you'll not stand at all. So what do we think of that? What do we think of that warning? Well, it tells us how important faith is. It tells us how crucial faith is, because being able to stand, being able to stand firm, being able to carry on, being able to face whatever challenge is ahead of us, we could easily think it's down to our own thoughts, our own strength, our own desire. But that's not what it says here. This isn't the message that God wants Ahaz to hear. It's, you need to stand firm in your faith or you won't stand at all. So faith is really important. But what is faith? What is faith? Some of us here this morning would say, well, we've had faith for years and years and years, or we've always had faith. Or maybe some of us would say, well, I don't have faith. I've never had faith. What is faith? What's that all about? But there are other words for faith that mean the same thing. There's trust, and we've sung about that this morning. There's trusting and believing and having confidence in. But then the question comes, well, what are we trusting? Who are we trusting? Where is our confidence? What do we believe? And those are questions that we can all ask ourselves. And we should ask ourselves those questions, because these are the crucial questions. If you don't stand firm in your faith when facing challenges, when facing difficulties, we won't stand at all. So in this situation, a long time ago, God sent someone to King Ahaz with a message. But then about 700 years after this, God did the same thing. He sent Jesus into the world. And Jesus also came with a message. Some of us know very well what the message was that Jesus came with. But if you don't know that message, if you've not heard that message, if you've not thought about that message, then the easiest thing to do is just get hold of a Bible. And the Bible is a big book. It's complicated. It's difficult to get into. But there are four accounts of Jesus' life, four Gospels that tell us all the things that Jesus did, all the things that Jesus said. And you can read any one of those four Gospels, and you will get the message that God gave to his son, Jesus, to bring to mankind. And that's a message that's worth hearing. That's a life-changing message. It's a message that's changed many, many, many millions of people's lives. But God didn't just send Jesus with a message. He sent Jesus to do something. I'm sure we've all heard about what Jesus came to do. It's true, he came to teach and he came to heal and he did miracles. But the most important thing that Jesus did was to go to the cross and to give up his life. And he said that he did that for us. He did that to bring us to God. That was his message. And he lived out that message. So the question is, do we trust what Jesus said? Do we trust what Jesus did? Do we believe it? And we won't believe it. It's not possible to believe it unless we hear it. We need to hear the message. And there are people all around the world who've heard that message, and their lives have been totally changed and transformed because of it. Not just in one country, not just in one place, but absolutely everywhere, even in the most difficult and darkest places in the world. Even in the places where people who follow Jesus risk their lives. But faith is really important. And faith comes through hearing the message. So I think the question for us again this morning is, does God have a message for us today? What is God wanting to say to us this morning? Because there are plenty of people, perhaps the vast majority of people living in Southampton, who don't believe in God at all. But there are a few who do and who will testify that God is real because of what he's done in history and because he continues to act and speak today. And even for us, those of us who come to church every Sunday, who've been Christians for many years, it's the same question for us today. What is God saying to us? What is God's message to us right now? And then do we trust him? Do we believe what he's saying? Because if we don't stand firm in our faith, we won't stand at all. And it's great to be able to be here, friends and family of James and Aquia and Musa, to see them get baptized, because this is a step of faith. This is trusting that Jesus is real, that what he did makes a difference, and that our lives can be lived following his ways, following his teaching, following him, because he died on the cross, but he rose from the dead. and he's prepared a place for us so that we can be with him after we face the greatest challenge that we'll face, which is death. And Jesus has conquered death. That's what he said. Do we trust him? Do we believe him? It's a journey, and we'll hear a little bit of that journey from the three people getting baptized today. It's a journey that has to start somewhere. So I want to encourage you, if you don't feel like you've started that journey, then think about starting that journey today, just by exploring, what is this message? What did Jesus actually say? So I'll leave that with you. Plenty to think about. If you've got questions, then do come and ask any question you like before you leave here today.